From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Francis Chan, author of the new book, Until Unity. Let's now join Hank and Francis Chan in their conversation.
Once your desire is, wow, Francis Chan seems like he knows Jesus and he is a part of the body, I want to love him deeply. I want to love him like I love myself. I want to love him the way that Christ loved me. And I really believe that that ought to be step one. It has to do with the Spirit's indwelling and this desire for oneness and this desire to love one another as Christ loved us. And it's with that foundation of love and desire for oneness that we then speak and start talking about some of these issues and going, okay, God, here we are. We love you. We want to be one. We want you to be the head. And we want to leave here united, more one than ever, as we discuss what are the most important things, what are the critical things. But I think sometimes we get into these discussions without a foundation of love, a desire for oneness as Christ wanted it. And I do think that's important. Doesn't sound real scholarly. May sound, you know, sophomoric or, you know, just, you know, that's cute. Okay, yeah, love each other, but let's get to the facts. But I'm going, I really believe that as we come in love, unified, that's when God is going to reveal truth to us. Because as we learn from Corinthians, as you were quoting, the pursuit of truth isn't all about intellectual discussion. In fact, it is a gift, and it's something that is of the Spirit, that the spiritual man will receive. Now, it involves study, because the Bible calls us to that, but there's something much deeper that goes on, and there's a transferring of truth from God himself that is not merely, you know, a fact going into my ears and then translating through my brain, and now I come to know truth. There's something that God does. And that's why we need to be so obedient in our love for one another and the obedience to his commands, so that when we come together to hopefully figure out what really is essential.
You kind of say that in a video that you released. I mean, in essence, you're saying that if your eyes are on God, then it's really hard to be critical of other people. So if you picture yourself with Jesus in front of you, and you're in a line, and your eyes are on Jesus, you see your own imperfections, and you're less likely to see the imperfections in other people. If you turn around in that line, and you look at the person that's standing behind you, so your eyes are no longer on the Lord, but rather on that person, it is easy to be critical. So I think your point there is well taken. And you're also talking about the significance of love, and I would say vicariously with that, humility. And this is the essence of what Jesus said were the first two great commandments. You have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you have to love your neighbor as yourself. So your focus is, first of all, turning our attention to God, and then we see our own frailty, imperfections, and when we're focused in that way on the Lord, a lot of the disagreements, they peel off by osmosis, almost by themselves.
Yeah. I mean, we see our frailness, we see our sinfulness, we see his thoughts just being infinitely higher than ours. And it feels silly to compare my thoughts versus your thoughts, right? In the presence of God. I mean, it's like, what is the gap between Hank's mind and my mind. And I believe there is a gap, but even the gap of truth, like who, you know, it's so small compared to the gap between God's mind and ours. And we recognize that, and we humbly bow before this God who is so brilliant, we can't even fathom all of his thinking and his thoughts. We're not in the same league. But then we recognize his desire for us and the lengths he went to erase our sin and bring us into his presence. And at that point, when I'm at his feet, I understand his holiness as much as I can. And then I recognize his grace and mercy on me. Gosh, I should just be absolutely undone, blown away, weeping, sobbing, going, God, how could you be so good? And then if you're next to me at his feet, screaming the same type of things to Almighty God, and then it's like, okay, now we can have a discussion because we're two people who are so enamored by him, so amazed by him, that spend time trembling before him and weeping before him and laughing before him because he is our joy and he is so good. And we come together, you know, we greet one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I tell you about my time with the Lord this morning. Oh, Hank, I had a beautiful time just walking for a couple miles in nature and praying to him and understanding his love for me. And I tell you about what God's been showing me, and I greet you in that way. You know, it's after all of that, then let's have some discussions. And I think God would bless that, but too often we get straight to business. And that's why I had even written, you know, about all the problems in the church, and that was like the introduction in chapter one. And I thought, oh, Lord, I don't want to start like this. This is what we do. We go straight to a problem, and we forget about your grace in our lives. And so I take people to worship. And go, let's bow before him. Before we get into anything, let's just tell him how wonderful he is. And if you didn't wake up doing that this morning, then you're part of the problem. You know, you think your mind is needed to solve problems before your mind is needed to just adore him and worship him and just be present silently before him.
Yeah, and fraught with humility. I mean, I would think for everybody listening in, it would be imperative to understand that you and I are having a conversation. We don't have it all figured out.
Yeah.
There's a lot about the mechanics of unity, whether you talk about it with respect to truth or you talk about it with respect to love. There's a lot of it that we don't have completely figured out. So we're having a conversation, not as people that, okay, we have the template, we can make this happen, but we're discussing this because we think this needs to be the center of our focus. We need to work towards unity as opposed to disunity. And there is, therefore, a discussion in this conversation about the Apostle Paul. One of the passages I memorized many, many years ago was the passage in Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul is getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He is pretty sure that he's going to lose his life eventually, and he's talking to the people in Jerusalem about what's going to happen in the future. And then in the midst of that, he's warning them, watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Instead, to suit their own desires. They're going to gather a great number of people around them to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. So he says, watch over the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the Apostle Paul was concerned about false teachers that would come into the church and disrupt the unity of the church.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, you have that passage where, you know, even within that story, you have Paul who wants to go to Jerusalem knowing his fate. And then there's others that are begging him not to go because they know of his fate. You know, you have disagreement even in that situation. And yet it's this beautiful, tearful, and also like, I'm worried about you guys. I know these savage wolves are coming and you have to be so careful.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Francis Chan. Christian unity is not optional. Francis Chan wrote Until Unity to remind Christians that God grieves division in the church, so we cannot remain indifferent. The power and witness of the church hinges on our oneness, and unity in Christ demands a level of humility that is possible by only those filled with the Holy Spirit. Unity around the essentials may seem impossible, but Christ prayed for unity and we must obey. Who are we to question the Creator of the universe? To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Our Lord prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Christian unity is not optional. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest Francis Chan in their conversation.
One of the passages I memorized many, many years ago was the passage in Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul is talking to the people in Jerusalem about what's going to happen in the future. He's warning them, watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. So the Apostle Paul was concerned about false teachers that would come into the church and disrupt the unity of the church.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, even within that story, you have Paul who wants to go to Jerusalem knowing his fate, and then there's others that are begging him not to go because they know of his fate. You know, you have disagreement even in that situation, and yet it's this beautiful, tearful, and also like, I'm worried about you guys. I know these savage wolves are coming, and you have to be so careful. The difficulty, I think, nowadays is everyone's fighting about who those wolves are. And I think both you and I have been accused of being those wolves, you know, from different people. And then you've got all these different people looking to that without considering. And I thank God for a pursuit of truth and those who pursue truth. But I would just warn those, and I think most people listening to your podcast are people who want truth. But there is a tendency of those who want truth to belittle the command for unity. And I am not saying we sacrifice truth for the sake of unity, but I am saying that I don't think we can sacrifice unity for the sake of truth either. We are to pursue both, and there will be conversations where we go, gosh, I don't know if that is Christianity anymore. There's a distortion of the gospel that at some point Paul says, okay, that person is accursed. We don't follow that person anymore. And I am not saying we don't have those discussions. I'm just saying, I think we've been very flippant about that and talking about people that I am very confident are brothers in the Lord and somehow saying we need to disassociate with them. That's dangerous ground that we're walking on when we do that.
Think about for a moment, Francis, what's going on in the current milieu. You have people within the church that are willing to decouple gender from biological sex. I mean, that goes to a foundational principle that God ordered at the very inception of the human condition. You have people, a whole denomination, Church of England, where they are now working with trained Marxists to reimagine the church. So you've got major issues within the church. I mean, not just arguing about small things, but we're talking about a reimagining of what the church actually is. And it seems to me, as you've correctly pointed out, that this is not a time to say we can't talk about truth, we have to talk about unity, or vice versa. I mean, both are twin pillars necessary to hold up what Christ established. I mean, and when we're talking about the church itself, I mean, Paul calls the church the ground and pillar of truth. It's primary. So we're not talking about a secondary issue here. It is the church that gave us the Bible. It is the church that passed on what was believed everywhere, always and by all. So we're talking about the organism within the world that Christ created to be salt and light, to be a leavening force in the culture. So when the culture now invades the church, I mean, that's a place where there has to be a pushback.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's truth and it's purity, which comes from the truth. You know, the obedience to the commands. I mean, that is the time when Paul does say that there is a time to disassociate because it's that important. The holiness of the church is that important, the purity. And so when there are the, you know, in 1 Corinthians 5, when he talks about those who are sexually immoral, of, you know, the greedy, the swindlers, the idolaters, he's talking about anyone who calls himself a believer but is guilty of sexual immorality, greed, idolater, reviler, drunkard, swindler, not to even eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God will judge those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. So again, it's not unity at any cost. There is a time to purge these people, and God wants his church to be holy. I mean, we see that with Ananias and Sapphira. We see it early on in the church. God wanted us to be serious about holiness. And again, it's, you know, it's those who love unity. Just like earlier, I said, those who love truth can have a tendency to neglect unity. And I would say those who tend to focus on unity often don't have a strong stand against sin or deception or false teaching. And we're commanded to all of that. And so somehow by the Spirit of God, we can humbly and gently pursue it. And like you said earlier, we don't have that figured out. We're just humbly coming before God and say, please, Lord, help me every step of the way. Even as you mentioned the different factions that are going on right now and some of the things that are creeping into the church, I can't even keep up with all of the different heresies that are, you know, that are out there and all the things that are being said. And it's so hard to find truth as I hear people say things about different denominations or leaders. Then you know, oftentimes you talk to those leaders and they go, that's not at all what I meant. And you and I have lived a life of that, of being misunderstood and misinterpreted and misrepresented by other people. It's all I'm saying is from the flesh, it feels pretty impossible to even know who to confront and how strongly to confront them sometimes.
You talk about the importance of being on our knees. And that's not just lip service. I mean, I've been with you and we've been dealing with some pretty weighty matters. And then you say, let's just go pray. And you get on your knees and it's very, very hard to be antagonistic in either heart or thought when you're actually kneeling with someone else.
I mean, the passage that I chose, you know, for the title of the book comes from Ephesians 5, talking about until we, you know, come to this unity of the faith. But he starts off that chapter saying, I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, he starts off and it says, this is how we live a life worthy of the calling. It's with all humility and gentleness. Oh, gosh. I mean, how many debates have we been a part of and seen and watched, listen to, where you saw that they came to each other with all humility and gentleness? That's the way that believers are supposed to carry themselves. And that humility towards each other happens as we spend time close to God. This is something God has been showing me lately. You know, I listened to one interview I did not that long ago either, and I'm going, oh, God, I was proud at that moment. I sound proud. I sound defensive. I'm sorry, Lord. You know, kill my pride. But then it's like he revealed to me that it's not just about pride. It's about nearness to God. Because when we are truly near to him, you can't be proud. Any human being that came into the presence of God was immediately humbled. And so my lack of humility shows that I'm not close to God at that moment. And that's the tragedy. Because if I really see myself in the presence of God, I'm not going to sound arrogant because I'm not going to be arrogant.
We've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Francis Chan, author of Until Unity. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book Until Unity by Francis Chan. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.